Welcome to the Lifehouse Church podcast. More information about Lifehouse and our senior pastors, Richard and Helen Kabakian, can be found at lifehouse.com.au. We hope you enjoy the following message.
Thank you for being here. I'm going to read a passage of scripture out here today for you today, and it's one of the most interesting parables that we actually, not parables, sorry, it's an account of Jesus with a person who was blind, and we're going to read that in a moment. And so I just want you to watch it on the screens, or you can open it up in your own Bible. I'm reading out of the NIV in Mark chapter 8, verses 22 to 26. And it says, they came to Bethsaida, and some people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village. When he had spit on the man's eyes and put his hands on him, Jesus asked, do you see anything? He looked up and said, I see people. They look like trees walking around. Once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes. Then his eyes were opened, his sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. Jesus sent him home saying, don't even go into the village. It's an amazing story. How many of you have actually read this before? Just a show of hands quickly. Okay, so there's a few that have and some that maybe not be so familiar with this passage. This is an interesting story because this is the only time we see Jesus needing to touch someone twice in order for them to receive a miracle. It's the only time you hear about it. Jesus never had to do something twice in order for a miracle to take place. I don't know about you, but I'm glad this account is in the Bible because I have seen in my own life that when I have asked God for a miracle to take place in my life, I can honestly tell you that God started the process but didn't necessarily complete it all in the one service, all in the 1 week, but God progressively added to the miracle. And I can tell you that today, what I prayed for, the miracle has come to pass. But sometimes it takes more than one touch. Sometimes it takes a second touch or a third touch or a fourth touch. And I want to encourage you today that maybe you've been praying for a miracle and you're saying, God, I want it to happen right now. And God would say, listen, I've started the process. You may not have completed the process yet, but we are on a journey. And God is telling us today, it's okay. Just because you haven't fully received your miracle, it doesn't mean you haven't received it at all. The blind man came to Jesus. And he definitely experienced something that was different. How many of you remember that when you first came to church or when someone first started talking to you about God or about relationships and what your life could look like, we were completely blind. I don't know, but I was completely blind about life. I didn't know what the meaning of life was. I didn't have a purpose to my life. And I remember someone talking to me about these things and I felt like this man. I saw light. I could start to see shadows, but I must be honest, I didn't have clarity about my life. I didn't have clarity, and this man began to experience light. How many of you know light is a good thing? And he started to see shadows, and the Bible says that he saw men walking around, but they looked like trees. In other words, it was a blurry, fuzzy vision that he had. It was unfocused. I want to suggest to you that if this man had have just then said, you know what, I can see light, I can see shadows, that's good enough for me. And I'm nervous that if that had been me, that I may have walked away and said, thank you, Jesus, that's awesome. Yeah. It's like I can see light now. But you know what, he may have been able to make his way through life, but he couldn't run. He couldn't be excellent at his job. Imagine if he was a carpenter, it'd be like, yeah, I can see, boom. No, I'm glad that the man didn't walk away feeling that he got his miracle. Yeah. I want to encourage everyone in this place today. Listen, maybe Jesus has opened your eyes a little, but don't be satisfied with that place. There is more to come. The title of this message is, come on, let's get the touch of clarity. Let's get the second touch of clarity. Come on, let's give the Lord a round of applause if you know what I'm talking about. Jesus wanted this man to have clarity. He wanted him to have clear vision. And if Jesus wanted it for this man, then he wants it for your life. Now, men, you need to listen up. This is our justification for buying the 4K TV. When your wife goes, why do we need a TV? Say, honey, if Jesus wasn't happy with the clarity with the blind man, then I'm just like Jesus, hon. I just want more clarity. And some of you are thinking, is there any difference in these TVs? I actually found, have a look at the progression of TVs. Do you know that's what we used to watch? That's called 480p. That's what we used to watch. We used to think we were watching television back then. And then it moved on to 720. And then this is where most of you are at. Most of you have got 1080 and you're completely happy with that. But some of you don't know that there's that. That's, guys, that's waiting for you. Now, I do have a JB ad here, right? A JB Hi-Fi. I do have it on special for... But listen, I would say most of us would go, oh, look, that's terrible. That's terrible. I mean, if your life looks like that, if your marriage looks like that, most of us would go, oh, that's just no way. I'm not satisfied. But then God touched my life, and then God does bring something. And then we end up over here, and we're like, you know what? This is... I can get by in life like this. Yes. But God says, hey, but listen, that's waiting for you. Does anybody want some 4K high definition living going on here? Do you know, I hadn't spoken to Kim this morning, but when she was hosting, she talked about her son receiving some glasses that gave him vision. You know, that process I think started because their youngest daughter, who they thought, because she's so young, she can't communicate as well as they would like at this stage of her life. But what they didn't realize was she couldn't actually see much at all. But you know, she was getting by, you know, she didn't know any better until they took her to the optometrist and then they put these glasses on. And when she put the glasses on, it actually caused a bit of fear in her life because she went outside and she saw this thing called the ground. She had never seen the ground because from her height, the ground was blurry. So she could never, and all of a sudden, from what Kim was telling me, she was sort of like walking like, wow, what is this thing called the ground? I want to suggest to you that sometimes you don't know what you don't know. And you're living a life and you're thinking, yeah, I've got some clarity in my marriage. I want to challenge you. Do you really have the first touch? Or do you have... I think you're living in the first touch, not the second touch. And the purpose of this message today is I'm going to beg you to not be a first touch person and don't be satisfied with the first touch. Why don't we go and become second touch people and get the clarity that God wants for us in our life. Come on, let's clap it out. The question is this, why was this guy, now, by the way, are you ready to brace yourself? Are we okay with this? Are we ready for a challenge today? Anyone ready for a challenge? Okay, let's just not just come to church to just get a pat on the back. Sometimes we need a healthy challenge, amen? Okay, so here comes the challenge. Why was this guy the only guy in the Bible to need a second touch from Jesus? Why was he the first blind man? Jesus healed many blind people. Why was this guy the first guy that needed Jesus to touch him twice? Well, I think it's quite clear why that happened. Because in every other account, when a blind person wanted to be healed, they were the person calling out to Jesus saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, please help me, I'm a blind man. And often the crowds would say, be quiet. And Jesus would, because that's our Savior, he would go and say, what can be done for you? What a beautiful Savior we serve. While everyone else was saying, be quiet, be satisfied being blind, Jesus went back and went to the person who was crying out to him. Those people got their miracle first time round. Jesus didn't have to touch them twice. They got full HD clarity first time. But this guy, the Bible says, have a look at what it says. It says they came to Bethsaida and it says some people brought a blind man and they begged Jesus to touch him. In other words, I think this man found himself in a miracle that he himself wasn't looking for. Yeah, so just like some of you came to church, you weren't seeking God. You weren't really praying, God, where are you? I'll do anything to come across this purpose that I could have for you. Someone just said, do you want to come to church? You came, you had a great coffee, you sat down, and boom, a miracle took place in your life. But I want to suggest to you that maybe the miracle you've experienced so far is just the opening of the eyes where I believe in God. I believe in God now. Thank you for that. Wow, I wasn't even looking for God, but you've convinced me there is. That doesn't mean you've got the second touch, friend. It's like, hey, you agree with everything, but you don't necessarily have the second touch. And guess what? You're in a safe place today. I would say there's a lot of people in this room and you're a first touch person. Are you second class? No. No, this person wasn't second class. Are you not favored by God? No. But what's God's desire for your life? That you would have clarity beyond measure, that you would have a focused life, a focused marriage, a focused relationship with people in your life. Yeah. Come on.
Yeah, very good.
I want to go one step further and say some of you were second touch people, but you've downgraded back to first touch.
Wow.
You used to have some vision. You used to be focused. And then someone blew up your TV and you went and pulled out the one from the shed. Come on. Disappointments.
Yep.
Hurts.
Yep.
You prayed. You knew exactly what you were trying to believe for, but you know, it didn't come through for you. So you've downgraded yourself back to 480p.
Yeah, yeah.
And God would say to you today, come on, blow up that thing and go to JB or go to the kingdom of God and go buy yourself a 4K today and get some clarity in your life. Come on, we need clarity. We're talking about doing life on purpose. How do you do life? How could that man have fulfilled his purpose in life with just shadows and men that look like trees? You can't do life like that. Is anyone else with me?
Yeah, it's very good. It's great preaching.
You know, I know for a fact that in this room, there are some people, and the only reason you're in this room is because your husband brought you, your wife brought you, your cousin brought you. Thank God for people who can see a need in your life even when you don't see it.
Yeah.
Thank God they brought you. Some of you, your friend brought you because he could see something in your life. You were lacking purpose. You were making decisions in your relationship that were a disaster. And it was a disaster about to happen. And that's why some people have brought you here and you've come and you're enjoying. But listen, your friend didn't bring you so that you could be a first touch person. Those friends would have been so disappointed if Jesus brought that man back and they said, can you see me now? And he goes, yeah, sort of. That's not the plan. Are you picking up the heart of this message? Listen, come on. Your friend didn't get you saved. They didn't bring you into this church. God didn't die on a cross so that you could be a first touch person.
Yes.
Come on, it's time to get the clarity that we all need in Jesus' name. You know, some of us were raised in mainline Christian traditions. Thank God for that. Can I just say that? Thank God that you were brought up with wearing maybe a cross around your neck. Thank God that you were baptized as a little baby because at least you were going down the right path. But let's be honest, you were as blind as you could possibly be. How do I know? Because that was me. If you had told me, do you believe in God? Oh, yeah. Do you believe in Jesus? Oh, yeah. Well, I went and smoked drugs and stole things and dishonored my parents and lied to people. Friends, that's not even first touch. That's still you're blind. That's not even first touch yet. First touch is, there is something ahead of me, but I don't quite know what it is. Question, are you a first touch or second touch person?
Yeah, very good.
Has Jesus touched your life once? Great. Has he touched your life twice?
Wow.
Very good.
Because you know what? I don't believe you have to earn it.
Yeah,
wow. Yeah.
I don't believe it's something that you've got to do in the sense of you've got to somehow reach out to God. God is saying, I am ready and willing to be your second touch God. He wants to do that for us. And listen, not tomorrow, today. Behold, today is the day of salvation. But there are a few things that we do need to do. There are a few things. There's no doubt about it. It actually tells us in the passage. Are we ready for it? Number one, if you're taking down notes, number one, the Bible says that Jesus dragged the man out of the village. Everyone say village. Yeah, Jesus had to get the people away from the village people. He had to get them out of there. Because village people have a mentality. And this is the mentality. Keep your life small. Why? Because they live in a small, small place. Do you know, in Poland, if you say to a pastor, where are you from? And he says, such and such place. If you say to him, oh, that's a good village, he'll punch you in the face. It's not a village. It's a town. Because he knows that there's a different mentality in villages than there are to towns, than there are to cities. There's the different mentality. Jesus had to get this guy out of the place where he was. Now listen, the Bible says that Jesus led him by the hand. Do you know while Jesus was leading him, the guy was still blind? Here's the first challenge for you. Are you willing to let Jesus lead you where you don't know where you're going? Or do you need to know everything before God leads you somewhere? Do you need to know everything? This guy wouldn't have got his miracle. Jesus had to get him away from the naysayers. Oh, you won't do that. Jesus had to get this guy away from the mentality of people who didn't want to move forward. I want to challenge you. Do you want to stop being a first touch person and become a second touch person? Listen, stop hanging around the doubters. Stop hanging around the negative people that don't think that you can rise up. Stop hanging around the people that say, you know what, I know you can maybe build a small business, but for you to build a big business, you have to sort of be born of a great family. You've got to come from the other side of the tracks. That's village talk. You've got to get away from the village people and get with Jesus and let him speak into your life. Amen? Come on, we've got to get out of the YMCA. Some of you have got images going on right now in your head that I'm very sorry about that. You know, the Bible tells us very clearly why Jesus had to get this man out. Have a look at Matthew 11, 21. This is what it says. This is Jesus speaking about some towns, about some villages. He says, what sorrow awaits you, Chorazin? And what other city? What other town? What other village? Bethsaida. So Jesus is talking about the village this guy came from. He says, for if the miracles that had been done in you had... For if the miracles I did in you had been done in wicked Tyre and Sidon, their people would have repented of their sins a long ago, clothing themselves in burlap and throwing ashes on their heads to show their remorse. What's Jesus saying? Bethsaida was full of people who were unbelieving. Got to get yourself away from unbelieving people. Do you know the people who have got something to say about everything? Let me tell you who these people are. They're the people that say, you know what? Okay, I'm going to be honest. I've got a first touch marriage. Let me show you what a first touch marriage looks like. Are we ready for a first touch marriage? We're going to stay together because it's important to stay together. That's a first touch marriage. But I'm going to swear at her whenever I feel like it. Wow. Yeah, everyone say, oh, that's good preaching, Pastor Rich. Yeah, swearing at your partner is not that's not a second touch marriage. That's a first touch marriage. Can I just say it right here, right now? And everyone's going to applaud. They're going to say, what great preaching this is. If you're swearing at each other, I'm telling you right now, you are sowing seeds of destruction, not just into your relationship, but into your children. Yeah, that's great preaching, Pastor Rich. Thank you so much for helping us out. Swearing is the devil's language. Why would you bring the devil's language into your home? Why would you do that? Would anyone, if Satan was at the front door, would you go, oh, come in and sit down with us? That's what you're doing. That's what you're doing when you allow sarcasm and you're pulling down. And friends, that's a first touch marriage. Oh, but we're going to stay together, but it's going to be absolutely horrible around here. Are you kidding? No, come on, let's go for a second touch marriage where we build each other up. You're the best, hon. I think you're awesome. I love you. You're going to do great things with your life. I believe in you. You're the best wife ever. You're the best husband ever. I go to bed most nights. Sometimes I'm just too tired. And I just say, hon, you're the best wife ever. Yeah, I do. And you know what? I'm going to stop beating around the bush with you guys and trying to play it down like as if my marriage is hanging by a thread. Friends, it's not. But listen, not because I somehow luckily ended up with a great marriage. Wow, you're so lucky. No, not lucky. One woman said to me recently, but Rich, you're easygoing. I choose to be easygoing. I choose that. I say, Richard, be easygoing right now. I choose that because I want a second touch marriage. Oh, but she just annoys me. You're annoying too. Oh, but he's just so lazy. Well, sometimes you're lazy. Come on, second touch marriage. If we're going to do this, let it be romantic. Let it be exciting. Speak beautiful words to each other. Come on, so enough of this first touch stuff. Oh, we're so, I love my wife. She's awesome. Where is she? Oh, she's, yeah. How can you see the need of your partner if you're half blind? You need a second touch. You need a second touch. I love my children. You know what? My greatest prayer is, God, let me see what's going on in their life. Let me see it. Because you know what? You can think your kids are all great. Let me get very dark on you for a moment. Do you know how many parents think that their children are doing great and then 3 days later they're trying to jump off a bridge killing themselves? Yeah. Come on, you've got to pray. God, don't make me a first touch parent. I want to be a second touch parent. I want to see what's going on in my children's lives. Because they may talk the talk, g'day dad, how you going mum? And 2 days later they're doing something disgusting with another person. They're about to import drugs. You know how many parents are shocked because their kids look like they're okay? And all of a sudden they were doing things that were so illegal, now they're in jail. I wonder if the parents who of these people who strap drugs to their body and go off to Bali, do you think if you had spoken to those parents 4 days before that and said, hey, your kid's going, oh, great, great, you know, they're studying at the moment. Meanwhile, strapping drugs to their body and heading off, and then they end up in jail for 25 years. Come on, ask God to have to be a second touch parent. A second touch husband. Listen, a second touch business owner. Yeah. How you going, guys? Yeah, we're all good. Meanwhile, they're planning full-on mutiny. Half of them are going to leave your company, take all your contracts. Oh, but everything's good. No, come on. That's how you going? How you going, guys? Come on. Shadows and light is not good enough for your life. We're going to be a second touch person in Jesus' name. Is anyone picking this up? Second touch. Pastor Richard, nobody does the right thing by the government. Yeah, first touch people do that. First touch people talk like that. Second touch people say, you know what, whatever Caesar wants, you give to Caesar. And whatever God wants, you give to God. That's called integrity, friend. I don't think any of us are going to be on our deathbed saying, I just wish I had ripped the government off a little bit more. No? Anyone? Anyone going to feel like that? I just wish I just had not paid that last BAS statement. I'm dying anyway. No, I think you're going to be praying, gee, I hope I've got integrity in my life. Yeah. I'm about to face the God of the universe who's got so much integrity. He's so white with holiness. Wow. Come on, second touch. Wow. You know, the advice you take is the life you make. Get out of the village.
Wow. Very good.
Say that to the person beside you. The advice you take is the life you make. What relationship advice are you listening to right now? Are you listening to the guys at the cricket club? Man, I've got some struggles going on with my partner at the moment. Hey, just tell her to be quiet. Really? Is that the advice you're going to take? You know, my husband, he just doesn't show me emotional. He just doesn't talk emotionally. But that guy over there, he's I've got a good connection with him. Yeah, sweetheart, stay away from him. Stay away from him, sweetheart. Not, well, if that's how you feel.
Yeah, preach it.
If you feel like you've got an emotional attachment there, you should pursue that because it's all about your heart. Listen to your heart, because it's coming for you. Listen to your heart. I promise it will destroy you. Listen to your heart. Yeah, anyway. Yeah. Number two, be humble. First one, get out of the village. Number two, be humble. When Jesus had spit into the man's eyes. Guys, we're going to have an altar call at the end of this church service. And you know what's coming. All right, we've got to do what's biblical here. All right, I've drunk lots of water. So of my leaders, we're ready to go. Just getting ready. Okay. I got a funny feeling not many people would come up for that altar call. I think some people say, you know what, I'll just get with God right here, right where I am. I think I'm just happy to just, you know what, this man chose the spit rather than falling into a pit.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Give me the spit. Give me the spit if it stops me falling into the pit. Okay, let me explain that to you. Give me some counseling. I'll humble myself. I'm going to humble myself and say things aren't right so that I can have a second touch marriage, second touch business, second touch. If things aren't working out with your kids, be honest about it. If things aren't working out in your finances, don't go down slowly. Why don't we arrest it and stop it and get with some great people in our church that can help you to budget rather than, oh, no, everything has to look great. Listen, here's the punchline. We're going to find out about it anyway when it's over. Don't make secrecy your goal. Make fixing the problem your goal. And sometimes to fix the problem, you have to be really humble. There's a couple in our church. They would love me to tell you this. I won't use their names, of course, but they would love the fact I'm telling you this. They were almost over. I promise you, out of her mouth and his mouth, it was pretty much done. And then I said to them, I'm not fighting for this. I'm not going to try and keep this thing together if you don't want it to stay together. Do you want it to stay together? And they said, yeah. I said, no, I'm not touching it. But when you call me and say that you want to get together, then I'll come and see you. In other words, are you being humble?
Yeah, that's it.
Are you being humble?
Yeah.
Well, they came and sat down. And guess what the problem was? Surprise, surprise. He couldn't see what the problem was with her, and she couldn't see what the problem was with him. They just needed some clarity.
Yeah.
And when I explained to her, can you see what he is saying to you? She went, yes, but I've never seen that before. And when I said to him, can you see what she's saying to you? He goes, yeah, but I didn't know that. That's all of a sudden, by their own, out of their own mouth, they would say their marriage has never been as good as it is today. Wow. Amen. Yeah. Got to be humble. Got to be humble. This man humbled himself. He stood there while Jesus went, and was like, really, God? Really? Yeah, sometimes really. Sometimes it does take up a bit of your time to get the right advice. Sometimes it takes a little bit of your soul to have to say, I don't have all the answers. And guess what? Why would we think you have all the answers? What course did you do that you would have all the answers? Amen? This is what I believe. James chapter 4, verse 10 says, humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up in honor. Humble yourselves before the Lord. I've seen people's marriages, relationships, businesses, you name anything that you're currently going through. When you get clarity, friend, it is amazing what God can do. Number three, last one, you've got to be honest. Be honest. What does that mean? It's a difference between humility and honesty. Humility is, you know what, I need help. But you know, sometimes you can get into a room and you're there to get help, but when you're asked a question, you lie.
Wow.
You don't tell the truth. Yeah. Jesus said to this man, what do you see? What do you see? He could have said, it's awesome. It's great. I mean, I can see light. That's a temple over there, isn't it? He could have started making things up.
Yeah.
But he goes, you know what, I see men as trees. And Jesus said, okay, I'm not satisfied with that. I'm gonna touch you again so that you can be fully healed. Come on, be honest. You know, one of the things that I have seen destroy relationships, just recently, a relationship is going through a really tough problem right now. And what does it come down to? She wasn't being honest with him, and he wasn't being honest with her until they were pretty much both done. Question, why didn't they tell each other how they were feeling, and why didn't they tell someone they loved how they were feeling?
Yeah.
Why? Why didn't they do that? They just couldn't be honest. What do you see? What do you see about your friendships? What do you see with your relationship? What do you see about your future? How do you see your business? How do you see these things? Oh, I'm awesome. I've got plenty of vision. Really, on the inside, you're dying. You're feeling like you're shrinking. It's killing you. You don't know how to manage people. Why don't you be honest and become a second touch person? Come on, be honest. You'd be surprised what you're currently feeling, how quickly God can turn it around with someone else's advice. You'd be surprised how quickly God can do it. Does anybody want to have a second touch from Jesus, by the way? Does anyone? I know not everyone does. I know for a fact not everyone does, but I know that there's a lot who do. And I'm going to challenge you. Okay, God has opened your eyes. I'm not taking that away from you, but have you had the second touch? Some of you had the second touch, like I said earlier. Time to get it back again. Amen. In Jesus' name, is everybody with me? Be honest. Be honest. There's a story in the Bible. I'm done. There's a story in the Bible where a man had a withered arm. Remember this? He was in the temple, though. This man was in the temple, but he had a withered arm. Do you know what I mean? Do you know what it means by withered arm? Like he had like a short arm. It was withered. So he could move it, but it was just deformed. But he had a perfect arm over here. And it's really interesting. When you read the Bible, Jesus says to the man, stretch out your arm. Do you know, some of us, we would have stretched out our good arm. Be impressed, God. Look how good I am. Be impressed. Look at my good arm. Touch this good arm. But Jesus wasn't after that arm. He wanted to fix the one that was withered. Listen, God's not after your best. He actually wants the withered arm so that he can turn it into something functioning, something powerful. Listen, why don't you offer God your withered relationships? Why don't you offer him your withered pain? Why don't you offer him your withered budgets? Because the Bible says that Jesus stretched out his hand and his arm grew and became whole again. Now he had two arms that he could work with, that he could get the job done in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on. If God wants to say to you today, stretch out your arm, which arm would you offer him? Your good arm, your strong arm? Or would you offer him your withered arm? Come on. First touch is done today.
Hi, I'm Richard Kabakian, pastor of Lifehouse Church. Just wanted to say thank you for listening to this message, and I hope and pray that you feel that it's added value to your life. My greatest desire is to see people develop a personal relationship with Jesus, which can begin by praying a very simple prayer. I'm going to pray that prayer right now, and if you'd like to begin that relationship, you can just repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I choose you as my only hope of being forgiven. Please come into my life and let me begin a relationship with you that will last for all eternity. If you've prayed that prayer, we would love to know about it and celebrate your fantastic decision. You can do that by sending an email to mydecision@lifehouse.com.au. We look forward to hearing from you.